everybody. It's Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist, everyone.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. Fresh off his triumphant Oprah appearance.
Of course, you caught that.
Yeah, No, I'm sure.
No, I'm sure you taped it, or you sat in front of the TV waiting.
Tape.
Yeah.
Here's the way. The only way I can tape a TV show is if I'm physically standing there holding the record button as the show is playing.
Yeah, the play and record button simultaneously.
I know people think that's lame, and I must be kidding around, but I will be deadly honest with you here. When I want to tape, like if I'm doing, if I'm going to be on Politically Incorrect or something.
You actually tape yourself?
I try.
Really?
Well, I want to see it.
I'm shocked.
How dare you?
I guess I TiVo it. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
If I'm going to be on Politically Incorrect or something like the Leno or something, especially Kilborn or whatever, here's the way I do it. I leave the house at 9:30 to come here. Well, I take a six-hour cassette, I put it on the channel, and I hit play.
Right.
Then when I come home, there's 5 hours of nothing.
Yep.
And then there's me sometimes at the end if the tape hasn't run out. That is as close as I can get. I've had the TiVo unit for a year now. It does not work.
Oh.
I cannot get the thing working.
No, that's the
and it's been hooked up now for about 3 months, and I haven't been able to figure it out. So good times. So any response on the Oprah appearance?
No.
No.
From whom?
I don't know.
Everybody saw it, seemed to like it. So
I think it's on out here at like 12:30.
3 o'clock.
No, but at night.
Tonight.
It repeats.
Yeah, that's right. It does.
So I am annoyed when I come home from work and I see that big puss on there. And tonight, I will not be so annoyed because Dr. Drew's big puss will be on there.
And then you'll change the channel. Not quite as quickly, but you'll just move right along.
Well, it is really funny when you do things because my initial thing is oh, hey, it's Drew. And then I watch for about a minute and a half and I go, oh, hey, it's Drew. And then I change the channel. Like, I get excited to see you, and then I realize, wait a minute. Nobody sees you as much as me,
so I
should go ahead and change it.
That's
now.
Right.
So I will, I think it's on at like 12:30 or 1 o'clock. I will try to watch that tonight. I spent the entire day in Santa Barbara at Ivan Reitman's palatial estate.
What's the estate like?
We'll put it this way. I hope he's not listening. I don't know if he gets angry at this kind of stuff. But Oprah, coincidentally, bought a place down the street or around the corner.
Yeah.
Many acres.
Yeah.
This is, for anyone who's not familiar with this area, it's about 80, 90 miles out of L.A. It's where a lot of the celebrities and producers and types have their second homes, sometimes first homes, up in the hills, above the Pacific Ocean, basically. Oprah's place cost her $51 million. 51. And
one of her many homes.
This place is better.
A lot better?
I don't know because my mind shuts off at about 450 grand. I can't conceive of houses being, you know, more than $700,000.
Let me put it this way. Let me ask this. Is it worth the extra effort? You know what I mean? To own a house that's that incredible? You understand what I'm asking?
Yeah.
Is it worth it? Is it okay just to stop at $400,000?
Well, you got to ask yourself, do you need an amphitheater on your property? Do you know what I'm saying?
Is that what he has?
Yeah. Do you want to open a door and look out and not see anything but what is yours? King of all your survey, and
that,
then the ocean.
But even that, that's not where all the money is, is it? Is it the land?
Well, in that area, you're talking about 30, 40 acres.
Oof.
Think about what an acre goes for up on that hillside.
Hey, I was just down here.
Right. Think what an acre goes for in Pasadena.
And is the house spectacular to go with it?
Spectacular.
Yeah.
Spectacular.
Yeah, but is it worth that? I mean, is it worth whatever it takes to do that? You know what I'm saying?
I don't know, but if you're making X amount, you know what I mean? If some movie you made 20 years ago goes to DVD, you open your mailbox and there's $10 million in it, then what do you mean? What's it worth? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's worth what? Doesn't matter. That could be the equivalent of a $20,000 home to you,
right,
for all you know.
Right.
I'm sure it's not that bad, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's all relative, but holy Christ, talk about it's. I mean, there's nice houses, there's mansions, and then there's this.
Oh, really?
There's this. Using a golf cart to get around the grounds.
Oh, my God.
People work, you know, in not ponds, lakes. I mean, it's just crazy. Crazy. All right. Ready to go here, Drew? I got back to my house. I took a dump on the living room floor. I say, you make me sick, house. You call yourself a house? This is squalor I'm living in.
Oh, my God.
Really, Jimmy and I were driving back from Santa Barbara. I looked at him and I said, how miserable are we going to be when we get to our crappy houses?
That's
and we live in nice houses.
That's what's unhealthy about stuff like that. You shouldn't be exposed to it.
It's not even a house.
You shouldn't be exposed to it.
I live in a gardening shed now. And you people are listening. You live in a box that matches are kept in.
Oh, boy.
Really, I was miserable when I got home. I was watering my lawn. I was crying. I was watering it with tears.
And pee.
And urine. Yes, that's right. Robert?
Yeah.
You're 24.
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, ever since my wife and I have gotten married, she wants to have a lot more sex than I do.
Hmm. How much is that?
Pretty much, if I'm ready, she would be ready.
Every day?
Every hour.
Every hour.
Well, what are you good for a week?
Not much.
Well, are you give me a number.
I don't know. If we're lucky once a week.
Are you just not into this woman?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Are you not into your wife?
I find her very attractive. I don't know.
To me, by the way, that would be hell. You know what I mean? To think I'm going to spend the rest of my life with somebody, I'm just sort of, eh. Whatever.
Yeah, but Drew, you'd bang a knot hole if you had a couple of Zimas. I mean, you are a very, very passionate, passionate, passionate man. But here's what I'm thinking. Maybe Robert is creeped out a little. Maybe she's pushing.
Just the way women get with men when they start pushing.
Maybe he's getting the vibe that there's something up and it's turning him off.
But how weird that it would start just after the marriage. Did you know each other only for a couple of weeks before you got married?
About 2 months, maybe.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
They didn't know. How weird to get married so quickly.
Does she have a history?
A history of what?
Well, any abuse or any isms, anything that ends with ism.
What is the history?
She was raped at a young age.
Two?
Who did it?
It was someone, I think it was a friend of hers.
All right, but...
How old was she?
She was 12.
Mm-hmm. Something happened before that, too.
How old was the guy?
I really don't know.
It's your wife.
It was a friend of hers. That's all she really said. So I'm assuming close to the same age.
Yeah.
We're assuming not.
Friend of the family, maybe. Yeah. And, yeah, how's her dad?
He's cool. I don't know, since I've known him, he's been a little out of it. But that's just because he had an accident just after we got married.
He had crapped in his pants or had an accident?
He fell off a roof.
Oh, okay.
Roofer.
Bad times. All right, and he's not an alcoholic or didn't beat on her or anything?
No, they come from a very strict religious background.
Mm-hmm. Mormon?
No. Yeah. Seventh Day.
Oh. That's Mormon.
That's Mormon, Seventh Day Adventist?
Yeah.
Hey, Robert?
Yeah.
There's something going on with her, and here's what I think. I think there's something going on with her, and I think you're picking up that vibe and freaking out a little bit or shutting down a little bit. And I mean, it's easy to define in that she's coming on too strong and you're recoiling, but it's more of a vibe. You know there's something going on beneath the skin with her, right? Yeah. And I think you need to address that. I mean, forget about the sex. Why don't you just talk about getting some counseling, getting her some therapy, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, we've been trying to look into that.
Yeah? How's that going?
Well, I mean, we just recently got medical, so...
Hey, you got insurance. All right.
All right,
that's your route.
Yeah.
There's got to be something up with him, too, because she picked him. Got to be.
You know what I was thinking about? I always argue, it's kind of weird and ironic, but I always say to women, look, you're not horny, your husband's being a good guy, you're shut down, you're on some medication, you're having some postpartum depression or something, just hold still. Let the guy mount up a couple times a week. He works hard. You know, give him a break. But with men, you actually kind of have to work a little bit.
Yeah.
I know this sounds like a horrible statement, but, I mean, you got to get the erection and you got to move your ass up and down.
Yeah.
And if you're not motivated, it's going to be hard to even pull that off.
Even more than I think what you're commenting on is that if a guy's not in the game, a woman's going to know it and going
right.
to be disturbed by it.
Yeah.
Well, while a guy is going to be like, eh, whatever.
Listen, she could have a massive coronary halfway into it and just be lying there. Most guys wouldn't know or stop. Thank you. John?
Yep.
You're 16?
Yeah, I called last Thursday, and you gave me this advice about my girlfriend. She said, I love you.
Oh, and I told you just to tell her you love her.
Yeah.
Yeah, did you?
No.
Thanks, idiot. Why not?
Well, she listened to the radio show, and then we talked about it. And that Shinomi doesn't ever say it. Her and I both have a big problem with it, and we never really say it to our parents even, or...
Yeah.
Anyone that close to us.
Yeah, well, how long have you been going out?
3 months.
3 months. And she said, I love you at what?
Last Tuesday.
So, I love you.
So is it like two and a half?
What's that?
2.5 months or something?
Close to three.
Close to three.
It's been over three, so it was last.
I see. So at the 3 month mark, she says, I love you.
Well, she's been out with a... Like, she had a boyfriend for a year, and she never said to him.
Where are we going, John? What's the point here?
Let me just recap here.
It turned out really well, just talking to her about it.
Oh, good. Oh, good.
Thanks for...
You're welcome. But didn't she want you to say you love her after the talk?
No.
No, but here's what the talk was about.
Still didn't give it up.
Yeah,
huh?
But it's how difficult it is for him to say that, because it's not said in his family. And she understood that, which is a very mature thing. You know?
Right. I'm saying, just start throwing it away. It doesn't have to mean
that
much.
There's no how. He can't.
Well, we both listened to that, and she wasn't for that.
She'd rather have him
mean it.
Mean it. Yeah,
exactly.
It'll be honest as best he can.
She'll be over that in a couple of days.
Yeah, and that's what I was really going for when I first called. And
all right. So you don't love her right now?
He doesn't know.
No. But, you know, it does kind of corner guys who won't say I love you if you phrase it this way. So you don't love her?
Well, that's what they do, right? So you don't love me?
Yeah.
You talking to me, Drew?
I love you, yeah.
You know I love you, man.
Oh, dude.
All right, guy. So, John?
Yeah.
Do you not love her?
He doesn't know. I feel like I have to rescue this
guy. Shut up. Would you, Drew? I'm trying to do some halfway decent radio for a change.
I love you, man, too, man.
I do love her.
You do love her?
Yeah, but...
But?
There's different stages to love, you know?
Yeah, well...
Casual, and then there's deep, you know?
He hasn't capitulated.
Give her, tell you love her casually.
I did that.
I love you light.
Friday.
Yeah,
after.
Okay, good. All right, John, you'll be fine.
All right, yeah, I was just saying thanks for the direction, and it turned out really well.
Good,
anytime.
John, great.
This is what keeps me coming back.
Yeah.
Callers like John.
Yeah.
And my big fat paycheck. That I used to buy all my exotic cars. Corey?
Yes, sir.
You're 21.
I am.
What's up?
Well, I have this problem when I masturbate.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of lotion, I just use Icy Hot.
No, you don't.
I do.
No, you don't.
Why would you?
Well, I lost a bet to a friend, and that was what happened. And
no.
I've been doing it since.
No. There's no way to enforce that bet. How does he enforce that? Does he watch you do it?
That time.
He did?
Yeah.
All right. Well, who am I to pass judgment?
And I was just wondering if
there's right.
any long-term effects with that.
Whacking off with Icy Hot?
Yeah.
Well, if you ever sprain your penis, you'll be in great shape. your rehab time will be cut almost in half. What's it feel like? Tingly?
At first, it's a little hot, but, you know.
Then the ice kicks in?
The ice kicks in. It feels real good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. It's not going to hurt you, is it?
If you're not seeing any irritation, I don't know of no specific problem with it.
Do you ever get any on your balls?
Once.
Does that hurt?
No, not too bad.
Okay.
Think about it.
All right, why don't you step up to Ben Gay or something?
No.
You know, it's got a little more heat on it.
I see how it's cheaper.
All right. How much of that are you going through a week?
About half a tube.
All right. Good times.
21-year-old guys.
Let me try this. Why not? I mean, if it offers some extra sensation.
Oh, God.
Well, you're jacking off anyway, so who, you know.
Who cares?
Who are you kidding? You might as well.
Who are you trying to impress?
Might as well grab a handful of pate and sniff something. You know what I mean? If you're going to go, you might as well do it. I'm a dry guy, but I'm thinking about trying out that Icy Hot.
Mm-hmm.
William?
Yes.
You're 15?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, I wanted to know what the side effects of LSD, and I've been taking some meds. I'm taking like 3 different meds.
What are you taking?
I'm taking Dexedrine, Imipramine, I used to take Imipramine, Clonidine, and Wellbutrin.
Wow.
Okay.
Because I have severe depression and...
All right, well, the Wellbutrin and the other one's an amphetamine, the first one you said.
Uh-huh.
Dexedrine?
What's that for?
ADD.
ADD?
ADD.
Weird,
ADD.
A speed for that.
Yeah, well.
Crazy. Anger management.
Yeah.
I've got problems.
No kidding. But why are you going to compound it by getting into drugs?
I don't know.
It's just not a great idea for you. I mean, you're already on shaky ground emotionally.
Yeah.
This is going to make things worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus, theoretically, you can have really quite dangerous reactions. Something called a serotonin excess syndrome that some can occasionally fire up with combining these medicines together. There's nothing specific about the ones you're using that would necessarily create that syndrome, but it always worries me when you're on medicines that could potentially do that.
Yeah, because sometimes I'll get these weird shakes for no reason.
Yeah. See, like William, let me explain something. You need all of your brain just to maintain your life. As opposed to a genius like myself who can basically not use any of my brain and still function quite nicely, thank you.
Oh, yes.
I don't even use it. I didn't even bring my brain tonight, Drew. It's out in my car. I'll get it during the break. But, William... You already have a history. You can't monkey with this stuff.
Yeah.
You're going to have to work hard and, you know, take your meds and do your therapy and do all that stuff just to have a decent life.
Yeah.
See, you can't screw with this. So don't do that. It's really a mistake. I'm telling you, as cool as it may sound now or as many of your friends are doing it, it's just a mess.
Well, see, that's the thing. All my friends tell me not to.
Oh, all right.
Mm-hmm. But I still do.
Well...
Now you got to quit hanging around with them. They're bad element.
Are you? You don't care?
I see that's the problem. I do care, but it kind of helps me.
Helps you do what?
It just helps me feel a lot better.
Well, if you're not feeling well, then you need to talk to the people that are prescribing the medication to get something that helps you feel better. Because if you need that kind of escape, there's something very, very wrong.
You saying acid makes you feel better?
Yeah.
Yeah, some people get a real escape high with that. Yeah.
Hey, William.
Yeah.
You got to do something about this.
Okay.
But it's not the drugs. That's not the answer for you.
It's not?
No.
No.
No, I think Jesus Christ. I rarely give out Jesus' name. He asked me to stop talking about him on the air. But I think in William's case, you may want to find him. Andrew?
Yes.
You're 23?
Yes. Hey, Adam, I met your real parents last night.
Whoa.
Really?
Your real parents aren't your real parents, so you think they are? See, the way Adam Carolla was actually came into this earth was Gilbert Gottfried and Dennis Miller had sex, and out came Adam Carolla.
Did you meet those two last night?
I met them last night. The accent from Gilbert Gottfried, the nasally voice, the wit of Dennis Miller.
Well, thank you. Hey, really you good. Know, Gilbert Gottfried's actually a very funny guy. People
yes,
don't give him enough credit because...
As well as you are.
Well, thank you, but he spends, you know, the better part of his career doing voiceover Parents. Work for toasters and smoke alarms and things like that. But he's really a funny guy. But it always kills me that when people say you look just like Gilbert Gottfried because he's an impish little 5-foot-tall man who will not bathe.
He was on the TV show, remember?
Yes.
And they sat you guys together and I was like, oh, no.
Thank you.
Yeah.
For all you virgins out there that Adam should have given a long time ago, you've kind of touched upon it, but... If all you virgins out there think sex is such a big deal, it's not. Anybody will tell you that. If you want to get laid and you want to get this whole thing over with, go to a place Adam Carolla has been many times. It's called Tijuana. Went there myself this last weekend. You've never seen anything like it. Am I wrong?
hey, listen, you think you've been to
How
Tijuana.
How dare you, Anderson, yawn at my
You should have been to Tijuana in 1981.
With the donkey?
Oh, my God, the place was a disaster area.
Oh, it's a utopia now.
It's Disneyland compared to what the debauchery. The Tijuana pre-AIDS.
There is a hooker every 3 feet.
Of course.
I guess you not.
And every 2 feet, it's a guy hooker, by the way, with his junk tucked between his
knees. I found out that the hard way. But
right, so
really
you bought it. You got a hooker in Tijuana?
Oh, several.
How much did it cost?
It's only $20, boys and girls.
And what did you get? What did you get? Did you get a BJ or did you get sex?
I got the whole thing. You know, it brings me to my next point. My buddy, I'm kind of worried about.
Wait a minute. Let me ask you a couple of relevant questions.
Let's go.
Were you on Revolution Boulevard?
I was in Lockawilla. I'm not sure. I wasn't too. I was kind of spun out on tequila most of
the
time.
Great. All right. So what about your buddy?
Oh, listen to this. Okay, he has got severe problems. He is going up to every prostitute that is there asking if he can have sex with her without a condom, okay?
Yeah.
Before you freak out on that, he picks up some chick on Santa Monica and La Brea the other night, which, you know, you're familiar with that area, has sex with her without a condom, and I looked at this, whatever it was, and it looked like a man. So,
yeah.
I'm kind of worried about my buddy there. Doesn't know really what to do.
Will he listen to you?
No.
He's an addict, I bet.
Sexual addict.
Yeah. Sex addicts do that kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, what can we do if he's not listening to him?
I don't know. The consequences would bring him in.
Well, let me tell you, as I learned from listening to a PSA on AIDS when I was driving home a week ago, and Drew, you're a doctor. You probably know the answer to this. Do you know the only known cure for AIDS? You want to check your medical textbooks, or do you think you know the only known cure for AIDS?
Well, let me see. The word cure suggests you've already contracted it. So they couldn't possibly be suggesting that not getting it.
No! No. That's where you're wrong.
No.
According to the PSA I was listening to, the only known cure for AIDS is not getting it. Now, let's see if that works with other diseases.
Let's see, a cure for heart disease?
Not getting it.
Cancer.
Yeah. How about a cure for motorcycle crashes?
Don't have it.
No crashing. How about automobile and train crashes?
Don't do it.
Airplanes?
Don't.
Buses?
Nope.
That's right. There you go. That's what you learn from listening to late night radio. The only known cure for AIDS is not getting AIDS. Thank you very much. All right. Best way to keep your virginity? Don't get screwed. No. There you go.
Do they couple those with the secondhand smoke ads?
Yeah.
Just for fun?
The one where 50,000 people die every year?
Every 5 minutes?
Right. Except for it's really about 5 people. I really like to get hold of those people. And then I hear the one on airplane turbulence safety, and that's when I just punch my head right out the sunroof of the car and start screaming like a madman. Okay, we're going to take ourselves a break, and when we come back, we'll speak to Grace, 18, exposed to herpes 3 weeks ago. Is it too early to get a test for it? We'll find out after this.
Loveline. We'll be right back.
Hey, Shandala, Shandala, Shandala. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. Shandala was the noise Frank used to make, a guy I used to work with when I installed closets with born-again Christians.
He just started talking in tongues.
1989. Well, he spoke in tongues, but it was not really.
Just one word.
It was like he spoke in tongue. He was no Rich Little. Mexican guy with a tattoo on his neck and a teardrop tat in his eye. Shandala. Carrying around a Bible. Oh, yes. Those were the good old days. Vanessa?
Uh-huh.
You're 18?
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. Drew, weren't we going to talk to the herpes guy? I will talk to him after
you. Did you promote
that? I've been promoting it all weekend.
No, but I mean, you didn't...
I backsold.
You teased that.
I teased.
All right. Go ahead, Vanessa.
What's backselling?
I have no idea. Right. Oh, we just heard.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. Adam, I love you. You're incredible.
Thank you.
Okay. Like, last Saturday, I met this guy, and I was at a party, and we were drinking and everything, and then I ended up giving him oral sex.
Shandala. In where?
At a party. Like...
All right.
You said something. You gave him oral sex in...
Oh, no. I just was giving him head. And then now my tonsils are, like, double size.
Oh, when she says now, it sounds like she says narrow.
Yeah.
I thought she said in a Camaro.
Oh, because I can't talk, because they're humongous.
Okay, so you have an infection, all right?
Uh-huh.
Tonsil infection. We hope it's not chlamydia or gonorrhea, because it can be.
Yeah.
So how long ago was the BJ?
This is on Saturday night. Right.
My God.
It's probably just strapped something, but why don't you see
that? It has like little white patches.
I know. You're getting tonsillitis.
Oh.
And
what did BJ have to do with that?
Well, because I just thought that it was from giving him head.
No, I know. I know. I'm asking Drew, though.
It gonorrhea, chlamydia can look like that.
Ooh.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. No condom, obviously.
No. Well, no.
No, listen, I don't blame you.
I was drunk.
Yeah, all right. Well, as long as you were loaded.
So then it makes it all okay.
How old was the guy?
He was 28.
Oh.
You do need to tell the doctor, okay?
28, going to a party, getting a BJ from a nice 18-year-old. Oh.
He's scum. You do need, and given her GC, gonorrhea. But listen, you need to tell your doctor about this. It's important because the kind of culture you got to do for both chlamydia and gonorrhea is very specialized, and it might change the antibiotics he or she would give you too.
How does she tell the doctor what she's
just
doing?
I had oral sex
really?
Saturday, and I'm worried that this is an STD.
Really?
Or just say I'm worried this could be an STD. I had a new partner. Just leave it at that, and the doctor knows what you mean. Okay.
Okay.
All right, baby.
Okay.
Hey, you do a lot of that?
Well, why do you want some?
Well, not now. 5 minutes ago, I did.
Well, I just broke up with my boyfriend.
Well, I see.
And, I don't know, I've just been, lonely, so.
Right. Why are you acting stupid like that?
Right. You're lonely, so you give guys BJs?
Well, yeah.
What? Listen, she's like a kitten being petted now.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't have a dad when I was growing up.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Thank you for getting right to it for us.
Now everyone's dad, except for you're blowing them.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way to control them.
But it's a weird thing. It's like, look, if you're going to look at the guy's dad, don't give him the BJ. You wouldn't blow dad, would you?
Give him a tie.
Yeah, give him a nice clip-on.
I'm confused.
Yes.
I'm confused, young lady.
Yes, yes.
Very.
You sound like a very nice young lady, and it would suit
you
bad you treat yourself better. You know?
Yeah.
Hey. I know everything that I should do, but it's just...
Right.
Doing it is the hard part.
Yeah.
Okay, but how long ago did you break up with your boyfriend?
In April.
Okay.
2 months ago.
How many guys have you blown since then?
About 7.
Really? Whoa. Sneezy, grumpy, Doc, who else?
Yeah,
okay.
The whole gang. And I slept with 4.
Okay.
Vanessa.
But listen, Vanessa, is crazy as the last few months have been for you, you still have not crossed the threshold into wild numbers or making movies or doing anything crazy.
Not yet.
Okay. Here's my point. You can stop that now. I don't mean stop having sex. I mean stop doing what you're doing to yourself.
Out, yeah.
You can stop acting out. Okay, you want to do that?
Hard, though.
Okay, but listen, Vanessa, here, let me explain what's going to happen. And this goes to people who are getting into heroin or giving 28-year-old BJs at parties in the back of the guy's Camaro while he's giving her STDs. Here's the thing. At this point, you can stop. No harm, no foul. 2 years from now, when you've blown 4,000 guys and you got herpes and hepatitis and your new fiance gives you that penny for your thoughts. Well, and he gives him that speech, I've been with, 7.5. Technically 7, but I say 7.5 because one time I got to second base and she says I've blown the last 4,000 guys I've been. You've already crossed. You understand?
Yeah.
Stop now.
Okay. I'll try.
All right. Or just forget
it. Get some friends, get important people, keep them close to you, talk a lot.
Just stop acting out. I don't care if you have sex, as long as it's not acting out. Which is what it is
what
when you go,
yeah.
Hey, if you find a guy you like, you go on a couple dates, you want to have all kinds of crazy monkey sex with him, that's your business. But you getting drunk at a party and blowing some guy who's near 30 is not a good plan for you.
You understand the difference?
Yeah, I do.
Because the guy with the date, you're probably going to see him again.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he's probably somebody who has some concern with you as a person.
Listen, your dad left. Okay? Right. Big deal. Everyone's dad leaves who calls this show.
It's hard because I'm like... I can't find any guys that want to actually go out on.
Well,
a date. Look,
but
you're not looking for those guys.
Well, why should they go? They're getting a BJ in the parking lot of the restaurant.
Well, because I'm kind of overweight, so.
Okay, listen, Drew wrote that down. By the way, no, he didn't. Vanessa, here's your big problem. Forget about finding the guys right now. you've had plenty of guys in the last few months. You've had 3 years worth of guys in the last 3 months.
You know, you can track their attention. No problem.
You can give anyone a BJ. Give a cigar.
Congratulations.
A wooden Indian out front of a cigar store. You could get to come. You understand? Now relax. It's not all about guys and what they're going to do for you and how they're going to fix you and how they're going to make you whole. You got to fix that. You got to work on that. That's you. That's not them. Stop looking for them.
I was thinking today I was going to ask you if you're doing any work with your therapist. Are you just still BSing him?
Thank you.
Oh, this is nice. I thought you were sleeping. But obviously you are doing a little bit of work.
No.
You started talking finally to your therapist, huh?
No.
You're talking about the masturbation?
How dare you?
Oh, I guess not.
My therapist could be listening, Dro. No, I don't talk about such things. I told you I can't.
Such things. I beg your pardon. Such things. Such improprieties.
In the company of strangers? How dare you?
Never mind. You talk about 2 minutes of people on the radio overnight.
Millions.
You beat off?
Listen, Dro, I've told you why I do not talk to my therapist about masturbating.
Mm-hmm.
Because I cannot talk about masturbating without masturbating.
But
if he wants me to beat off right there in the office.
Plus, it takes that full hour to discuss the Laker game.
Drew,
Mike has been playing.
How dare you? I've not been discussing anything of any relevance or import
That's
with my
point.
Therapist. I've not even been going the last few weeks
because
I've been having to work all those days. Grace?
Hi. I had sex with someone five weeks ago, and I heard from all his friends that he has herpes.
Did you say 5 weeks ago?
Yeah, like a month and a half ago, or like 2 months ago around then.
It was unprotected sex?
No, it was protected, but I heard you can get it even though you're wearing a condom, but I had oral sex with him, too.
No condom?
With no condom on the oral sex.
You didn't see any breakout or anything like
no,
that,
I
did
didn't.
You?
They're less likely to be contagious if there's no breakout.
Oh, okay. And I also have a question about it. Like, I got tested, though, like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
For what?
For everything. I just went in for, like, a general, and, like, I just got everything tested, like HIV and everything.
They can't really test for the herpes, though.
Not without an outbreak.
We got to see something.
Yeah.
Oh.
But it's all right. You don't have anything. See, right?
Right.
And they can culture. A lot of women don't know that they have herpes, and they will do cultures.
They did culture.
Yeah, it was negative.
I think so, because she never called me back.
You're fine.
If I don't hear from her.
Well, maybe you're dying, and she didn't know how to get the words
together.
Well, but
the place we got to worry about, actually, is your mouth. You've not had any outbreak around the mouth?
No.
All right, relax.
Hold on.
I told her about that. But about HIV, though, HIV, you know how it could show up 6 months after, even though you got tested before?
Yeah.
Is herpes like that?
Too? Not so much. Herpes, most will have something within 2 to 4 weeks.
Oh, you're
and
fine,
that's pretty
buddy.
Much it.
Hey, if you get herpes, you have no outbreak, you've never had an outbreak, but somehow you've contracted it, they can culture that?
No, it's more that you've had an outbreak but didn't know it.
I see. But what woman's going to... I mean, I know a woman's got a lot of inside parts.
No, the women commonly can be just on the cervix, and they just get, like, they think they're having a bad period, or that's going...
Oh, it's on the cervix.
Yeah, or they think that they're just having, you know, they just think they're kind of sick, they got a urine infection, they have a yeast infection. It can masquerade at all sorts of things.
That herpes way up there?
Yeah.
Oh, bad times.
What?
Jay?
Yeah.
You're 25.
Yeah.
What's up?
Yeah, I had a question for Dr. Drew. Well, you know, for you too, Adam, but I've been smoking pot. Well, I recently quit, but I've been smoking pot, you know, since I was 12 or 13 years old. In the last, you know, 8 or 10 years, really heavy smoker. And I quit in January, and I always had a really great memory. You know, people say that pot really affects your memory. I didn't really have any of that kind of problem. You know, people tell me their phone number, I remember it right away. But when I quit smoking, I lost my memory, basically. Like the first couple of days, I forgot how to drive a car. I was like, you know...
Well, you're detoxing, though. That'll take a few weeks.
Uh-huh. And still, I haven't quite got my memory back. Like, I forgot how to play the guitar, you know, I forgot all sorts of
things. Hold on, maybe you just thought you know how to play because you're baked. I thought that.
Well, what's interesting, there's something called state-dependent learning, so maybe you learned those things when you were high.
Well, yeah, I mean, I definitely started smoking before I started
yeah,
dying. I know, like, I'm almost a professional caliber jazz drummer when I'm stoned.
Uh-huh.
That I know. But I can't play at all when I'm not.
But the memory issue is more about new learning. In other words, when somebody now tells you your phone number, do you have any trouble remembering them?
Yeah, I can't remember it as well, or I don't seem to retain it as well.
All right, the other thing is you usually will get depressed for the 6 months after you stop smoking pot. Is that starting to happen to you?
No, not really. I kind of wish I could smoke, but I can't.
Are you doing something else?
No.
Taking any other drugs or
no.
Alcohol?
Drew, haven't we heard this?
Yeah, I drink, but I don't. Like, I used to drink a lot more, and I used to do a lot more drugs just in general. I don't drink.
You haven't stepped anything.
Whatever,
you haven't stepped anything else up to replace the pot.
Haven't we heard this before?
Yeah, but it's usually people who are getting memory problems when they stop. That's why they stop. They're getting frustrated with the fact they can't remember stuff.
All right. So, what's this problem?
Here's the good news about pot is this. In my experience, the vast majority of these symptoms get better, but it will take at least 6 months.
Where is the part of the country where people learn to say
That's right. Yeah.
Where's that?
Seventh grade.
Oh, is
which
it?
Which is when he started smoking pot.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Because we do hear that about every sixth caller. We hear the
So my kids say that.
Oh, so it's what you do when you're a kid.
Yeah.
And if you never really got out of that.
When you start smoking pot, then you don't develop.
Interesting.
Isn't that wild?
All right.
That's like our girls with the little girl voices.
Right. So the male equivalent to the little girl voice is I mean, not progressing.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, I saw some like A&E special on Marilyn Monroe just a few nights back. And I was listening to her with my new Love Line ears.
Yeah.
And I was, watching her sing Happy Birthday to Mr.
Yeah.
President.
Oh, yeah.
And just multi-interviews and movie parts. Yeah. And I realized, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Somebody did something awful to that poor woman.
Yeah.
And for a while.
Yeah.
I mean, you listen, go back, watch a movie, or better yet, because you could chalk that up to acting, but watch just an interview or something with Marilyn Monroe, listen to her voice, and then listen to the type of people we're talking about on this show, and you'll realize, wow.
That's where we got off on the wrong foot in terms of understanding these people. It became, look how sexy she is.
Right, instead of just an abuse victim.
Yeah.
All right, should we go kill ourselves?
No, let's have some more nuts.
Okay.
Yeah.
Remember, guys, all good-looking women have been raped. We'll be back.
Hello? Is this Loveline?
Call 1-800-LOVE-191. Adam and Dr. Drew will be right back.
Hi, this is Chris from The Living End, and you're listening to Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Don't touch that dial.
All right. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. Hey, that's Drew. Just like the guy said. Phone number, 1-800-LOVE-191. Who's on here tomorrow? The Cult will be in here tomorrow. That is a good band, and I think they're back. So we'll talk to those guys tomorrow. There you go. That's the Cult. Where's that real signature Cult sound? There it is. Now you know it's the Cult. All right, we'll talk to them tomorrow. Weren't they in here a few years ago?
I thought it was a few months ago. Like 8 months ago, 10 months ago?
A year ago. I don't know. Ask Ann when the Cult was in. Anderson, you remember about a year ago?
Yeah.
Jamie?
Yeah?
You're 39. What's up?
I knew I was physically abused as a child and beaten and battered left and right, but it wasn't until I had a small procedure done at the gynecologist that I found out that I was sexually mutilated.
What do you mean you found out? Were you when that happened?
I had a cyst that needed to be lanced.
No. Why didn't you know you had been?
As far as I can, I have no memory of it whatsoever. I always felt that my mother never crossed that line. But
mother?
Yeah, my mother. She was psychotic, drugs, the whole works.
So she was the one perpetrating the abuse?
Yes.
Oh.
Physical abuse?
Physical, mental, and I always thought that there was this little line she never crossed that was sexual.
So that you never remembered any kind of sexual abuse from her?
None.
How about
none
any of
whatsoever.
Her? How about her drug addict friends?
No, she stuck to prescription drugs, and she was very paranoid, so she isolated herself. She drove my father away, my brother away, got everybody out of the house, so it was just her and me. And
oh,
all I can think of is that she did this mutilation when I was a baby.
What is they noticed?
According to the gynecologist, there were straight line scars all over my vaginal entry area. Huh. And there was a large purplish area that looked like a permanent bruise. And and I could identify that because I have been kicked down there by my mother. But, you know, the doctor started asking me questions about, did you have any surgeries that you know of?
How come nobody picked this up before?
Because when I started seeing gynecologists, I never had to shave. But because they were dealing with a cyst, I had to shave the area for them to drain the cyst.
A Bartholin cyst.
Huh?
Something like a Bartholin cyst? Or
actually, it turned out to be not as crucial.
I do my own draining, as you know, Drew, so I can't
Lansing
identify
is what
with
you
this.
Do.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Lance and drain. Okay, so
anyway, the area had to be shaved, so that's
right.
The first time somebody saw the scar.
Okay, that makes sense.
Okay.
All right, so what's the question?
Yeah, good time.
Yeah, mom's nuts. Okay.
Is mom dead?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
I was quite happy to plant her, as a matter of fact.
That's great.
Plant her.
I would have loved to have been there and watch you deliver that eulogy.
No, I actually had nothing to say. Neither did my brother. It turned out he was abused as a child, too.
Shocking.
And now, how have your relationships been?
Well, I haven't had that many relationships, but I did, until I married my husband, I did fixate on older men.
Yeah. All right.
Seeing that my father was out of the picture.
Do you have kids of your own?
No.
Good times.
I don't think I'm able to have children. I miscarry before the first trimester. So.
Oh, interesting.
You think that could be a product of the abuse?
Do you have warts or do you need any cervical procedures or anything?
There were a lot. A very, very young child, I had a lot of vaginal infections related to unclean.
All right.
If I remember right, the first trimester is more the genetic disorders of the developing fetus, while the second, third is the cervical competency.
Jamie's, you know I'm a big fan of denial. Your mom's a horrible person that abused you horribly. This may have been something that she caused, or maybe it wasn't. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if there's some sort of a vaginal pathologist who could figure this out.
Is that your question?
Basically, the way the doctor described it, it looked like somebody took a razor blade to my private area.
Very nice. Is that it? What's your question about that, though?
I was something of a nymphomaniac.
You were.
As soon as I became sexually aware, I didn't have that many partners, but I was sex obsessed.
But that could be just the abuse of, you know.
But what's the question still?
Well, since this has happened, my sexual desire has gone to nothing.
Since what has happened?
They found the scars?
I'm sorry?
Since they found the scarring?
Since they found the scarring. It was so severe that the doctor even wanted to find out if my husband had done this. Because he was ready to report him for abuse.
All right.
And you don't have any kind of multiple personality or anything like that?
No.
Listen, I'm sure when you got this report, it drudged up a lot of feelings.
Yeah.
And for women, that's what sex is about, feelings, and it shut you down for a while. You'll be back on that horse. Also, perfectly normal, perfectly healthy.
Of course.
Also, for women who've been through what she's been through, we were just talking about it last night, you get into that manic hypersex time, and then you have those dormant periods.
Right.
She may be entering that.
Yeah, I'm also interested in how you talk about women's connection with their feelings and sex. You say it with outrage. Outlandish. Yeah,
how dare you?
How dare they? Sex is about feelings, right? Can you imagine that?
It's connected to the news,
you're
I'm
right.
sure.
You're right.
Not the scarring, because you're having plenty good sex before you knew about it.
I wonder if she did that to herself.
Ooh.
Because sometimes people that are badly abused will cut on themselves, and that's a place they cut.
Kimberly?
Yes?
Well, don't freak around. You're 22. What's up?
Yeah, good evening. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for calling the show.
my problem is that I had a second trimester abortion about 4 years ago.
Why?
I just couldn't have it. I didn't want to have it.
Wait, hold on a second, Drew. We got to go to break. But what is this? Is the next call someone got an M80 put in their vagina?
Okay, all right.
I'm going nuts here. So all these women with these crazy vaginal problems. Well, take some guy who got his dork caught in a blender or something, for Christ's sake. Damien, enough with the vaginal mutilations. Bring me down. Tara, easy with all the vag stuff.
Who knows what goes on
in the old vagina, the old vagina, the old vagina. I'm about ready to sprout a vagina, and it's not gonna be in good shape either. We'll take a little break. We'll wrap up with Kimberly, and then we'll get to some good penis questions after this.
Oh, yeah. Everybody now.
Yes, I will be right back. Here.
Loveline will be right back.
Howdy, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Drew. The Cult is going to be in here tomorrow night for all you Cult fans. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Let's hop back. And you don't want to finish up that last one?
We didn't do that one at all.
I got into her vagina.
Yeah, but you got off it into Penisville.
But I was knee deep in her vagina.
All right, let's do it. That was four, wasn't it? Yeah.
I think so. Kimberly?
Yes. Hi. Okay, this is my problem. My problem is that I had the second trimester abortion throughout the pregnancy. I was using speed heavily.
Oof.
I mean, every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It was just crazy. And ever since about 2 months after I had it, I've been having these crazy symptoms. I've got a lot of fatigue, bad digestion, recurrent yeast infections, memory loss, headaches.
That's speed. That's what speed does. How long have you been off speed?
I've been off for 4 years ever since I had the abortion.
Well, unfortunately, it's the memory problems, the mood disturbances, the feeling not right can be permanent from speed.
But I also have body odor and skin rashes that doctors say is fungus. I've got low blood pressure, iron deficiency, and all these kinds of things, and it's really driving me crazy. I sent a blood sample to the UK to be tested for Candida albicans overgrowth.
Kimberly, you're a severe drug addict. You damage parts of your body from that. It's not going to be the same. You're going to have weird symptoms. That's what happens when you've been doing a lot of drugs.
Why'd you send a blood sample to the UK?
Because I kind of suspected Candida albicans overgrowth.
Yeah,
and
Kimberly,
suspected.
Yeah, you don't need any of that. You have plenty of reason to have problems. Just with the speed. And what are you doing for your addiction? Are you using anything else now?
No, I'm completely off of everything, cold turkey, and I never missed it.
Are you on any medication?
No, I'm not.
Huh?
What's with the UK and the Canada? Shouldn't you send your stuff to Canada?
The thing is that nobody wanted to do that blood test for me here. They were like, "No, you have depression. All these are
That's right. This is all typical of people that have done a lot of speed and then come off it. It damages the brain. I would say if you want to check out the National Institute on Drug Abuse, they have a bunch of an area in there that shows what happens to brain after periods of speed exposure, particularly heavy speed exposure.
And
depression, all sorts of funny feelings, or normal memory disturbances.
Yeah, this could have nothing to do with the abortion?
This has nothing to do with the abortion.
What about the fact that she was doing a lot of speed when she was pregnant? Does that change anything?
Not to my knowledge.
What about getting an abortion when you're doing a lot of speed?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay.
Yeah, good questions, but I don't think it makes a difference.
Well, here's the thing that Drew has alerted me to. We always hear about these success stories of all these people are strung out on heroin or speed or whatever the hell it was. They were on death's door. And that, 2 years later, they've been sober. They've been working out. They got it back together. And that does happen, but sometimes people don't snap back. You got to understand.
Hey, there are three drugs in which you will not snap back. Ecstasy, speed, and LSD.
Really? I didn't know speed was in there.
You got to do a lot of it, though. You got to do a lot of speed. And
you're saying I should do a lot of speed?
You need to. You personally
you
need to
gotta
do a lot.
Do a lot
yeah,
of speed.
You got to do a lot.
That's what I heard.
And Kimberly, when you don't replace the drugs of addiction with a process like recovery, the mood disturbances and the anxiety are usually profound. So I suggest you get involved in a program of recovery.
All right. Let's talk to Casey, who's 14. Casey?
Hey, Adam, I heard the guy with the Icy Hot earlier.
Mm-hmm.
That guy was so full of crap.
Yeah.
You don't do that on purpose if you don't do it more than once. Dude, that hurts so bad.
It does.
What happened to you?
Putting the Icy Hot on the penis, huh?
That guy was so full of crap.
What happened to you?
Well, I was playing, I was at a baseball game and my arm hurt and I used it with my left hand to get it on my right arm. And I went to the bathroom And oh, it burned for like half an hour.
Was it icy hot?
Yeah, it was icy hot.
Yeah. Well, I suspect that the guy had a bogus call, but I've never really used that icy hot. And because the word icy was in it, I thought, well, yeah.
I don't know. But Adam, I'd like to tell you, I've gone beyond the writing on my shoes. Your name, Ace Rockola, is actually in my screen name online.
You're gay.
Wow. That is great news.
Yeah.
Did you used to go to DrDrew.com?
I went there once, and I didn't like it.
There's a guy with that screen name. He used to go to
Drew,
the chat.
Drew, what are you? You're an asshole.
See, Drew, what happens when you ask questions?
Well, I'm curious. What didn't you like?
Dude, I don't know. It's just the chatting.
Lame, right?
Yeah.
Lame-o.
Exactly.
Lame with a capital L. Thanks, brother.
Yep.
Hey, you keep up God's work, all right?
All right.
All right.
All right.
It's a kindred spirit there. Ace Rockola is a screen name.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of those. I used to run into some of those guys.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, what's funny is, I don't know, it just popped in my head, but remember about, it was about 4 years ago, 5 years ago, somebody had bought the name, like, AdamCarolla.com.
Yeah.
Because that was back during the days when they would scam you. Yeah. They'd spend $65, register the thing, then they'd have it, and then theoretically I would buy it back off of them one day when I was ready to launch my website or sell my merchandise.
Yeah.
I still can't turn on the goddamn computer. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, that was the worst money management decision anyone has ever made, buying my name for something that has something to do with a computer. I still have no idea what the internet is. I have no idea how to work a computer. I can't type my name.
That's good.
I've never been on the internet.
That's good, because even if you could get on, you couldn't read it that was there.
No, could not read that.
That's good.
And let me tell you something. If anybody, and this is really funny, sometimes people will say, yeah, one time someone reported back to me. Anyone who knows me would laugh their ass off. Some guy was doing the X, was on like the X Show website, which is amazingly canceled.
No.
Hey.
Well, you ripped them off. Of course, now they're going to.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure, that's right. I remember when The Man Show came out. Everyone said, what about The X Show? Everyone said, what about The Happy Hour? What about all these other shows? And what was my answer, Drew?
You'll see.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Oh, and The Man Show is going for its fourth episode coming up next. So fourth season coming up next year. But, wild coincidence. But somebody said some guy named Adam Carolla got on the website, the X Show website, and they were sure it was me.
Yeah, no way. No way.
This guy was typing in all sorts of crap.
Typing, ha! Typing!
Sounded just like Adam Carolla. We're sure it was him. Yeah. Drew, you knowing me.
You have an ironclad alibi in me. No way.
Right, doctor.
No way.
No way. Thank you. Lori?
Yeah.
You're 20. What's up?
Well, I was raped 5 years ago back when I was a freshman in high school.
Good times.
No, not really.
Oh, okay.
But, I used to have nightmares about it, but just here since I've hit, like, the fifth year, they've gotten really bad, and I just don't know how to get rid of them.
How did you deal with this when it happened?
When it happened, my mother put me in counseling, and I was put on Prozac for a while, and pretty much isolated from all my friends. And
you isolated yourself?
No, my mother isolated me.
Why?
Because I lived in a real small town in Arkansas, and I mean, it happened on a Saturday night. Everybody found out about it by Sunday morning, and it did a lot of damage to me. And my mother, I think she really couldn't handle it.
You were 15?
Uh-huh.
Why does you being raped do damage to you in terms of your ability to feel ashamed of yourself?
You know, small town and people.
No,
and
wait a minute. Why? You were a victim of a violent crime. Why should the town come down on you?
Yeah, well, I mean, they did. I mean, pretty much everybody saw it was my fault, and I was the one that wanted it. And what I mean, the guy
you
got his...
You've got to be kidding me.
No, the guy...
No, listen, that's her interpretation of it.
No, listen.
Go ahead.
Okay, I mean, the guy bought his way out of it and everything. I mean, my town, there's only like 1,500 people in it. I mean, his cousin was the sheriff and whatnot, so he pretty much bought his way out of it, and so I never really had closure from it.
How old was the guy?
20.
And what happened?
Well, I was spending the night at a friend's house, and we thought, hey, we're going to be cool and sneak out to these older guys' party or whatever, and I mean, I liked him, and I thought I could trust him or whatever, and We ended up drinking. I drank, I don't even know how much Everclear, and got really drunk. And, I mean, I can remember everything that happened that night. I mean, just saying no and everything else. And
how old were you again?
15.
So did he held you down and
hold a knife to you or something?
No, he just, I mean, he was bigger than me.
Right.
I mean, I'm not
okay.
Very big.
So the next day you told your mom.
Well, actually, our moms were looking for us that night because they came in, like her mom came into the room to tell us something and we weren't there and called my mom, and my mom knew exactly, you know, she's like, I know exactly where they are. And like right after it happened, my mother showed up. I had, you know, just, I had blood all over me, and my mom showed up.
Blood?
Yeah.
What happened?
I mean, I have a huge scar on the inside of my vaginal wall from it, from where he forced himself in, because it was my first time and everything.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So you brought charges up against the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Had you ever been victimized before that?
No, never. I wasn't.
Never.
And what happened? How'd he buy his way out of it?
I mean, he pretty much just said, I mean, had all of his friends up there going against me and saying no. You know, she was the one that was saying, yeah, I want it. And, I mean, in the town, it depended on how much money you had to see where things would go. You know what I'm saying?
What do you mean, how much money you had?
I mean, the people that had the most money, you know, they could get anybody to believe them.
Why? Mm-hmm.
Just the way small Arkansas hick towns are.
Did they pay them? Did he pay the jury?
It never got to court or anything. I mean, everything was just dropped before it could get anywhere.
He paid the judge?
Like, I don't know what happened. I mean, we were never called to court about it or nothing. I mean, my mother did what she could. I mean, we had like thousands and thousands of dollars worth of hospital bills that... You know,
why didn't, and those, the medical records weren't brought into the court?
They were, but they also looked at my blood alcohol level, which was 4 times the legal limit, and they were trying to pin it on my mom, saying she wasn't taking care of me or whatever because I was a minor. And
well, there's something to that.
I mean, it was just, it was a real horrible ordeal.
How did your mom know where to look?
Well, because she knew I liked the guy, and like, and I was like, you know, I was like, oh, that's where his friends live, and they party or whatever.
All right.
My mom has a photographic memory. She remembered where they lived.
Okay. Where's your dad?
I've never known my dad.
All right.
Does your mom drink a little bit, too?
No. She doesn't.
All right.
She has heart problems, so she can't.
Dad did, though.
I guess. I don't know. Yeah. My stepdad drinks a lot.
Okay.
He drinks and smokes a lot.
Bad times.
Yeah.
All right. So now you're looking for what?
Should I go back to counseling?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's just, used to, I'd have nightmares about it, and I wouldn't remember.
Laura has a ton going on here. A ton. Just dealing with the alcoholic stepdad, the abandoning father. Those two things by themselves enough to get back and do the work.
Yeah.
And now all the trauma, and you have to move. Do you have friends now?
Uh-huh. I moved in with my mom's younger sister back that summer, my freshman year, because I got a job in Texas at an amusement park, and I've just stayed here, and I mean, I've got great friends down here.
At 15, you got a job at an amusement park?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You moved to another...
are you in college now?
Moving to Texas from Arkansas?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not that far. Are you in college?
Well, I know, but it's just weird moving to another state at 15 and working.
Well, it was all my choice. I mean, I came down here and started working, and I mean, just made all kinds of friends. It's like, I don't want to go home.
You in college now?
I will be in the fall again.
All right. So there's a lot of good stuff happening, but it could sort of derail if you don't take care of some of this stuff. And the symptoms you're having now, I think, can really be dealt with.
Yeah.
And it may actually be time for some pharmacotherapy, some medication, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Just because the affect attached to all this is going to start to surface, and it could get difficult for her to manage while she's trying to deal with school and other things. And, you know.
Yeah.
Right. She's complaining about symptoms. That may be a little control of medicine.
Annika?
Hey.
Hey, you're 19.
Yeah, I want to give a shout-out from IV.
Yeah. I was damn close to IV today.
Really?
That's Isla Vista, everybody. That's where University of Santa Barbara is, or UC Santa Barbara.
Yeah.
Yeah, good times.
Yeah, it's finals week right now. Real good times.
Yeah, you know what I was remembering as I was driving back from Santa Barbara today? You know the good thing about... growing up in a town and remaining there your whole life is you don't have to go back and visit the old neighborhood. you can drive down. You know, you hear those stories that the, you know, some prize fighter says that he drives down to his old neighborhood in Brooklyn, except for this time he's wearing a fur coat and he has a pinky ring and he's driving in a limousine.
Right.
All I got to do is go to my dad's house and I get to drive that route. I just drive everywhere I go.
It hasn't changed.
I've been.
Which is why it's good that you built yourself a house three blocks from there.
Right.
It's nice.
The party house.
Yeah.
But here's my point. I was driving home from Santa Barbara today. It was a beautiful day. I was in a beautiful car and had a beautiful meeting and everything was great. And I was thinking as I was driving back about the time I drove to Isla Vista.
Oh, yeah.
Which is 10 miles further than Santa Barbara, which is 100 miles. Takes an hour and 45 minutes to get there. Yeah. I was on my motorcycle.
Oh, yeah. The rain.
It started raining when I got on the freeway off of Laurel Canyon in North Hollywood, and it poured, and it was at night, and it was during the winter.
Oh.
And I was hanging on, white-knuckled onto these, blue-knuckled onto my handlebars. I was going, when you drive at 75 and it's raining hard, it beats on you, and I peed on myself. That was the thing. That's the part I was remembering.
Was the girl you're going to visit impressed when you arrived?
No girl.
Oh.
Guy.
Oh.
Somewhere around Oxnard, I just myself.
Nice.
I said, look, I couldn't get any wetter. I couldn't get any colder. Why not just pee on myself?
How do you even get the pee out when you're leaning over your handlebars frozen to death?
You'll go. Well, I could have had to start going in like West Hills.
Right.
And just started flowing around Oxnard or Ventura. Well, anyway, good times.
I think everyone who's a loser in college makes that trip to Santa Barbara.
Mm.
I was drifting for a while and did that.
Yeah, well, good times over there. What's up there, Annika?
I don't mean people who are there are losers. I mean those of us that were down here at any period of time, we always try to go up there.
They used to have a good Halloween party out there.
Yeah, not so much anymore. There's like 20-foot patrol to every block now.
Yeah, they used to block off the street. Everyone would do drugs
That's
and just
you had
wander around.
Your car almost turned over. Remember that? Wasn't that Halloween?
No. Where?
In Santa Barbara.
I had a lot of weird stories there.
Remember you were there, and right?
You were
telling people to tell them to gun it and run the people over?
Oh, yeah. That was later in life. That was in a van.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Annika.
So I was dating this guy for like a month, and he had these little brown spots on his penis that looked like freckles, and I've never seen freckles on a penis before.
You may see them again.
Oh, it's totally normal?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Really?
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of schvants, and I've never seen freckles on a penis.
Yeah, he didn't have them anywhere else on his body either, which was...
What color is the guy?
He's white.
Yeah. Sometimes guys who have dark pigmented skin have things going on
with
their dark.
This was a little bit raised, though, right?
What, the freckles?
These things are a little raised, or are they flat?
They seemed flat. I mean, they were flat.
Oh, you know.
There can be discolorations and things. It's normal.
Did you ever ask him about it?
No.
You were dating the guy.
I know. Isn't that odd that I didn't ask him? But no, I didn't.
Well, I don't blame you. I wouldn't have asked either.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking maybe it was like scars from warts or herpes or something.
It's possible. They can pigment. That can happen.
Yeah?
Yeah, that can happen.
All right. Well, she's not going out with him anymore, right? Jason.
Yeah.
You're 26. What's up?
Oh, hey, I got in a truck accident a while ago, and I hurt my back and stuff, and anyways.
Did you say track? Hold
truck,
on.
Truck
Truck
accident.
Or track?
Truck.
Yeah. Truck, okay.
Track. Track.
Right.
Anyways, I get bad migraines now. Well, I've been having them ever since the accident, and the doctor prescribed me Imitrex.
Yeah.
But, like, he never prescribed, like, the amount I should be taking daily or whatever, and... Like, he gives me their 50-milligram tablets.
Yeah.
And the only thing he told me to do was to break them in half.
Right, you definitely should not be taking more than 100 milligrams a day. And you should definitely not be taking them every day.
I take them, like, I take 25 milligrams, like, usually around 11 or noon. And then I take another 25 milligrams.
Well, basically, these aren't migraines. And so Imitrex, there's something to do with the neck. It's either muscular headaches with scalp muscle headache from the neck injury, or it's something else.
How do you know they're not migraines?
Because
wouldn't be connected to the accident.
They aren't day in and day out like that, and they go away with Imitrex. They go away.
Migraines do.
Yeah.
Migraines.
You're just popping pills. So what other pills are you taking?
Yeah, junkie.
Darvocet.
Yeah, there you go. That's why you have the headaches and back pain.
Well, I take a half a Darvocet with the Imitrex, and he said I Imitrax, ibuprofen, or Motrin 500, or Motrin 800s, and then the Darvastatin. And I could take, like, you know, he says I can take them all together because they're, you know, I guess in the same family.
How much Darvastatin are you taking a day?
I just take a half of Darvastatin. I think they're 500 milligrams.
Once a day?
No, I break one in half, and I take a half with my half of Imitrax and half with my other half.
I'm going to ask you again. How many Darvastatin are you taking a day?
Just the one.
One tablet a day.
Just one, yeah, one full tablet a day.
The Imitrax can start giving you headaches, too, if you use too much of it. So just you need to get evaluated by somebody specialized.
Hey, can you get migraines from an accident?
Not really? Not really, no. Not classic migraines. You get headaches, headaches.
I got migraines before. I don't know if they're actually migraines. It's just a real severe headache.
Bad headaches.
Right, but I mean, I don't know. It's just he never told me don't take more than this.
All right, I'm telling you, don't take more than 100 milligrams a day, but I think taking it every day is way too much, and really don't even have a migraine, so the use of Imitrex is sort of questionable here.
You get strung out on that stuff?
Headaches can have multiple causes, and these medicines like Imitrex can be useful even without classic migraines, but I've seen people get, you know, with this kind of thing, he's treading water. He doesn't have a good treatment plan.
No easier thing for your body to produce than a headache if it wants something, too.
Oh, yes.
I mean, that's the easiest one to sum it up.
That's absolutely what happens. And the withdrawal from the medicines cause headache.
Right.
So you got the pain-reward mechanism and the withdrawal.
John?
Yes. How you doing?
Good. You're 38. What's up?
Yeah. I have this problem with... I am very large.
Mm-hmm.
And my other half is having a problem taking the whole thing.
Is that your balls, or are you talking about... No, oh, you're talking about your wife?
Yeah, my wife.
I see. I was
by the other half, you mean?
Yeah, so usually sometimes when I talk about my other half, I'm talking about my balls.
I see.
Well, no, I'm not talking about my balls.
I see. And what do you measure in at?
About 10 and a half.
I am a big boy.
Boy.
I'm a real big boy.
Yeah, hold on a second there, John. We got to take a break, but we're going to get back with this, all right?
Okay.
All right.
He's checking people out now.
By the way, I'd love that my penis was so big I didn't have to sweat that other half inch. You know what I mean?
10 and a half.
10 and a half. Me, I'm like, hey, I'm 5 13/16. 10 and a half.
Two of your penises. Isn't that nice?
What's that?
He's got two of your penises.
How dare you?
He does.
How dare you?
He does.
How dare you? He does not have two of my penises. Two of my penises would be 9. No. No, two of my penises would be 12.
Oh, good times.
Maybe 12 and change.
Oh, well, I'm impressed.
Yeah, oh, yes.
Good times.
Oh, yes. We'll be back.
Love Line with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hi, this is Brian
and Gordon
from Violent Femmes, and you're listening to
Adam Carolla
and Dr. Drew on Love Line.
Yes, you is. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. You want to give Dr. Bruce a plug?
Yeah, but he doesn't. I need his phone number though.
He doesn't have it.
I'm sure he has it. But Bruce again is here with people lined up out the door to get his special treatments.
His laser treatments.
His laser and his microdermabrasion. He's really become quite an expert in this stuff. But the thing he's becoming known for is tattoo removal.
That's right.
And he also can do these laser facials and get rid of wrinkles and all kinds of fun stuff. So
he came over and played basketball on Sunday.
Yeah.
Dr. Bruce fills in for Dr. Drew from time to time. Anyone who listens to the show knows his name. He is all Adam's apple and elbows, that guy. I mean, I said to a guy, when he guards you, it's like an evil sorcerer put a curse on a scarecrow and animated it, brought it to life, and had it guard you.
Ichabod Crane?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Crazy. Crazy out there. John?
Yes.
So all right.
John with the...
10 and a half on the penis.
Right.
Yes.
And what size is your wife?
Oh, what size is my wife?
How tall is she?
Yeah.
She's about 5'7".
All right.
Mm-hmm. And she can't take all that.
No, she can't.
What happens?
I just can't go in all the way.
Well, that's all right.
It really hurts. And
so why do you have to go in all the way?
I guess it's a man thing. I have no idea. I mean, it feels good, but it just doesn't feel like I'm being pleased like I should.
Mm-hmm. Where the work ends.
I've been in relationships before. I was always with men before, too. And this is my first experience with a woman.
Wow.
And I've been with her for 4 years now.
Well, the
hold on. You put that redwood log in some guy's ass?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, the thing about the rectum is that there's no sort of dead end like there is in the vagina. Vagina dead ends.
What do you mean, end? You'll have a dead end if this guy gets you with that big
vagina
door.
Vagina dead ends into the cervix and the uterus.
Right.
The rectum, if you can make that sigmoid curve, it keeps going.
Well, the rectum's more of a cul-de-sac.
No, it's 9 feet.
I just want to get sack in there.
Okay.
So you're saying with the rectum, you theoretically could fish a jump rope up there.
Sure.
And it would keep going.
Yeah.
There's no end to it.
So he got used to being able to go in as far as he wanted to, which is not
good. Yeah, it was a friend of mine, and I talk to him all the time. And am I allowed to say his first name?
Who? What are you talking about?
Why? All right, this is bogus.
I mean, there's a lot of...
All right, hold on a second. I think this guy's bogus.
Yeah, I don't know why he needs to say anybody's name. But let's hear what he was trying to say about it. I'm curious.
Well, okay, but why would you say a friend of mine told me?
Is it okay?
Am I allowed to say the guy's name?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense at all.
Yeah, like if we went, oh Christ, that was Paul.
But maybe
he's good people.
I'm just wondering if what he said would somehow make sense. But I'm sure.
All right, well let's find out, John.
Yeah.
Why did you want to say the guy's name?
Well, I don't want to say him all the time. I mean,
you say your friend.
I mean, there's been other people I've had, but.
Right.
This is the one person I've been talking to all the time, and he's my ex-lover.
All right, that's your friend. Well, just call him your friend.
Okay, my friend.
Okay.
And what's the question about your friend?
He tells me that it's, like you guys were explaining before, that it's on a woman, they can't take it as deep as a man can.
Well, the dead ends.
Thank you, John. Drew, where's your scratch pad? Yeah, didn't we just get into that?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's just, and I don't understand. She says it hurts her every time I go inside of her.
That's right.
I'm not sure if I should go back to my friend or if I should stay with her.
Hey, this is your girlfriend?
Yes.
I thought this was his wife.
No.
Oh, girlfriend. Okay, John, let's put your penis aside for a second.
Okay.
As difficult as that is, with the size that it is.
It's not that difficult.
Let's talk about you for a second.
Uh-huh.
Are you doing any drugs?
No.
No.
You
no.
got a job?
Excuse me?
What are you doing for work?
I work on the highway.
I see.
What does that mean?
Raping young men.
No, you work.
I work on bridges and
road crew.
Road crew. Right.
Oh, wait a minute. This is not a gay man. He does not sound gay. He works on bridges. What's up? What happened? What are we missing? Tell me,
what are you missing?
What happened with you growing up?
I don't know. I have no idea. I was never raped, never molested, or nothing. I have no idea. I was always had this thing for men.
But why are you with a woman now?
To see if it's any different.
And is it?
No, it's not.
Do you still like men, right?
Yes.
And you're not, like, the guys you work with don't know you're gay?
No, they don't.
Because you don't have any of that affect?
No.
You don't seem gay?
No.
This is true gay?
Yeah.
Born gay, the life is to live gay. This is born gay.
I'm very excited about this.
Appreciate that. No, because if you think about all the guys with all the affect...
Yeah.
All the guys that just make the guys you want to throttle because they're gay on top of gay with some gay sprinkled on top of it. That's all because they got effed with, and now it's gay for the world, and it's hostile gay, and it's gay that we have to know. But this John, he's born gay.
Yeah.
It doesn't affect other parts of his life.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't.
He's just gay.
And there's not too many people out there when I work. They know I'm gay.
No. You know, he's gay to the bone, inside his bone, not marrow, semen. Yeah. Another man's semen in there. Well, first off, you forget about women if you're gay.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you know, if you're going to be gay, be gay. I think you gotta stick with men. And you don't have to worry about hurting them because they got a bottomless salad bowl.
It's like the bottomless pit.
Right. Yeah. Hey, but still, doesn't it hurt them, that huge penis of yours?
I've only found one person, and it doesn't seem to bother him.
Seems so like
so he's your boyfriend?
Yeah.
Right. Are you still boyfriend with him? Boyfriend and boyfriend?
I haven't slept with him in a while.
Okay. Well, maybe you're done with the female relationship you're in.
Yeah.
Does she know about this?
No.
She doesn't know you were gay.
She knows. He comes over all the time.
Oof. Right. Has no idea.
Does he weirded out by the fact that you have a girlfriend?
Excuse me?
Does he freaked out about the fact that you have a girlfriend?
He knows that I wanted to try it.
Okay. Wow. Well, you tried it and maybe it didn't work.
Yeah.
Hey, I mean, is that what you think? Don't let me put words in your mouth.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe
it's not working out. I mean,
okay. You tried. It was like me in school. Hey, I gave it a shot in the sixth grade. It didn't work out.
This gentleman gave it a much more sincere shot than you gave at school.
I don't know. I put in a pretty good couple of weeks there in the sixth grade. It just didn't work out.
All right. A couple weeks, yeah.
Right, so he's gay.
Yeah. Yeah. You seem fascinated by this guy. Well, this is the gay man you've been looking for.
Yeah,
this is the one.
I don't know, though. He's pretty big.
Yeah, well,
I like to start with a smaller penis and work my way up to that.
Yeah, these graduated...
graduated butt plugs?
Yeah.
Okay.
And you know, this is the guy. This is the one that can do construction with you and hang.
He's a gay guy. He is a real gay.
Yeah. Adam, this is it. No wonder you're so intrigued by this guy.
Not this pain in the ass guy who sounds like he's from France or England,
this
but
is
he's
the guy
born
you've been
in
looking
Van
for
Nuys.
For so many years.
Oh,
Jimmy's got to watch
this
out.
Makes me hate the affected gays more. Hey, Chris?
Yeah.
You're 15. What's up?
Yeah, I recently have a new girlfriend, right?
Yeah.
She's 15 also. And, I found out that she, tried to, kill herself recently.
Uh-huh.
Well, not recently, but before I was with her.
Right.
Hey there?
Yeah, yeah. We're listening.
And I don't know kind of like how to deal with it.
Well, how long ago did she try to kill herself?
Last year.
Okay.
Right. She is on medication?
I don't think so.
She's following with her doctors?
She recently went with a psychiatrist.
Ask him another question. Just ask him.
Has she been depressed lately?
Oh, you didn't do the I was banking on the
He
does.
Yeah.
She has been depressed then.
All right, well, make sure she's seeing the people that are taking care of her. It's not your job to be caring for her.
Are you having sex?
No.
Good. Your job is to, oh my God, not when she's depressed. That'll destabilize things more.
The hard thing is when she was 13, when she went out with this guy, he was 20.
Yeah.
And so they went out and then her mom broke him up and... And she was really depressed. They were in love, and she's kind of like, I'm not falling in love with you yet. I'm not going to tell you I love you until I really do, because then it'll hurt me if like we break up. So
sure, yeah. Okay.
So, what would you suggest, Dr. Joe?
I would suggest you take your time. You not be concerned with managing her psychiatric status. You make sure she gets the care she needs, and that she's following up properly. And other than that, be a caring boyfriend.
I know this has come up before, Drew. But I just keep, it keeps coming back to my mind, and I can't get my mind around it, which is we talk to these girls and all the hell they've been through, all they've seen, and how fast they mature, how quickly they become sexual.
Yeah.
She's 13. She's in love with a 20-year-old guy. She tried to commit suicide.
Yeah.
Maybe some sexual abuse, maybe a little physical abuse. We don't know for sure. You know, there's maybe a little substance abuse and a dad that went AWOL, God knows when. Now she's hooked up with 15-year-old Chris. Chris's life has existed basically. He's lived on Pac-Man,
Nintendo,
and watching Dukes of Hazzard reruns.
Yeah, yeah.
Likes giving his buddies wedgies
and collecting Pokemon. Yeah. Well, now he's dealing with this.
Now he's got this.
Yeah.
And he's lost. And they're talking about love, and they're talking about commitment, and he doesn't even know where he is. I mean, you'd rather have a chipmunk perform brain surgery on you than have this poor guy deal with this baggage known as his 15-year-old girlfriend.
Well, and just think about the fact that his penis just turned on, too. He just became interested in all this about a year or so ago.
He's horny. Yeah. He's producing sperm. He's in love. And he's got a handful. You know what I mean? This is like you getting your learner's permit and somebody giving you a Ferrari Testarossa and a pair of pliers and saying, hey, good luck.
Yeah.
You got to keep it up. You got to work. It's all yours. Just whatever. How long before the guy just wrapped it around a telephone pole?
Yeah. No time.
Right. I mean, what do you do? What do you tell this guy? Don't do it.
No, just don't get it. Don't.
You know he's going with her.
I know.
She's going to suck him in and then pull him into this crazy universe.
I know.
And he'll have no defense.
Yeah, but think how many people go through relationships like that.
Wouldn't it be easier for him to just get in the ring with Tyson?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, just get it over with.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll take a little break. We'll be back. Hey, everybody. It's Love Line. Engineer Anderson is going to find the airplane turbulence public service announcement. Because let me say something, everyone. I got to be quite honest with you all. It's my job to take your calls and try to help you and do that every night.
No, it's my job, the helping.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's Drew's job. It's part of my job. But I need to entertain myself as well. Otherwise, I won't be. You know, it's like you got to let your employee play a little hacky sack every once in a while in the hall so he can be more productive.
In these creative environments where they put like basketball hoops in the middle of the office. And, yeah.
Right.
This is that for you. All
right. I need to go off on this airplane turbulence public service announcement, which we have not heard in what, 2 years?
On this
show?
Oh, I've heard it in the background a number of times.
Oh, I've just not caught it. I've been out.
Right. Regis not been listening.
It's been around?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I caught it this time.
How long has it been away, Anderson?
Okay.
Right.
Leave
it was,
Anderson
It was gone
alone.
For like a year and a half. I just
Really?
Yeah.
I swear to God, I've heard
no,
it.
No, it's been gone.
Has there been a different one? A different airplane turbulence?
I just brought it back like a month ago.
A month ago. All right.
Well, there you go. All right. Now, do you have it, Anderson? Because I would like to critique this for a second. Please, we're not going to help anyone.
First of all, let's just guess how much money was spent developing this thing.
I don't know. I don't care. But what they do...
But your tax dollars go into crap
right,
like this.
Right. Well, it doesn't matter whether it was a nickel or $5 million. It's too much. Here's the point.
The scary thing is probably more than the $5 million.
No, it is not. To produce a public service announcement...
And then do they pay to put them out?
Well, the stations have to do it. They have to play a certain amount of these things. Here's the deal. In order to keep your FCC license, you have to play a certain amount of these public service announcements. These are things that are put together by different organizations in order to sort of better the community that the radio station serves. And that's great. They're talking about AIDS. And, of course, you know, the only cure for AIDS is what?
A cure?
Yes.
Don't get it.
Not getting the AIDS. Right. So they have brilliant little aphorisms like that. But they come out with them, and some make sense. Now, I would like to just yell, hey, listen, all you mongoloids, stop breeding. That would be my PSA, and let's get that morning after pill going. But no, they want to talk about airplane turbulence, which, to my knowledge, is not a big social problem in this country. Drew, are you aware if anyone's ever been injured? Everyone, close your eyes. Here's what I'd like you to do.
Well, you know, when you go on planes, they usually don't give you any instruction about...
Oh, no, no. I was on a flight just the other week where they mentioned something about a seatbelt, Drew. You're wrong.
A what?
See, it's called a seatbelt. Yeah, she talked into that thing that with the speakers in the
PA
cabin.
PA
system. She said something about a seatbelt.
Seatbelt?
It's this thing that... You know what you have in your car? Or it goes around your lap.
Oh.
They got that in airplanes,
too. You shut the door, it goes across.
That's right. They don't talk about it much. probably only between 750 and 800 goddamn times when you get on an airplane. So they come out with PSAs like the following. Anderson?
What a tough thing your body is.
Anderson, can
it's
you stop
built
this?
To withstand bend.
Can we go back and forth with this? I'd really like to break this thing down. Can we start from the top here? All right, I'll tell you when to hold it. All right.
What a tough thing your body is.
All right.
It's built to withstand bending.
Right.
Pinching.
Ouch.
Tattooing.
Ow.
Swimming. Bumping. Tickling. Shaving.
They changed it.
Yeah, it's a different one.
Childbirth.
Oh.
There we go.
Football.
Bad cooking. Rollerblading.
Rollerblading.
Even company meetings.
All right.
But there's something the human body isn't built to withstand.
Uh-huh.
Unexpected turbulence.
All right, now stop it there. Stop it there. Now, let me just shoot a hole in this PSA premise, which is, and I would like to talk to the mother effers that make this thing, because I guarantee there are more injuries in football, Pop Warner High School, college, junior college, and at the pro level. I guarantee that there are 1,000 injuries for every one injury caused by airplane turbulence in just football. So, you bring up the goddamn thing that causes more injuries than the thing you're going to warn us about?
Yeah, yeah.
In your example?
How about rollerblading?
What kind of son of tard are you?
Yeah.
I guarantee that if you combine football and rollerblading, it would dwarf the amount of injuries that happen during airplane turbulence.
Infinitesimal. Yeah.
Why is that in your example? Why? Why in your example?
Yeah.
Why put two things?
Why not just put motor vehicle accidents?
Yeah.
You're meant to withstand motor vehicle accidents or auto versus pedestrian.
Why not cancer?
Yeah. Cancer.
Why not just put the goddamn cancer in there, or heart disease, everybody? Yeah. Okay. So, now, everyone close your eyes and think about anyone you've ever known has been injured via airplane turbulence. Okay, now I'm gonna expand that. Anybody you've heard of, any celebrity, any dignitary, any public figure, here's a good example, pro athletes. Los Angeles Lakers flying back and forth to Philadelphia. Baseball teams play 85 games a year on the road. Millions and millions and millions of miles logged every year by professional athletes. Is there ever heard of one of them who could not make the game because of turbulence?
As opposed to the injuries they incur while playing the games, such as football.
Yes, yes. Half of the Philadelphia 76ers are not playing in the series because of injuries. Not because of our airplane turbulence. And, yes, get around playoff time in the football season. Check the roster out.
Should we hear the rest of this?
See how many of them are related to airplane turbulence. But let's go ahead, Anderson.
Happily, though, planes are built to withstand that really well. Uh-huh. All you have to do is wear your safety belt the entire flight.
Hold on. What is this new?
Wait, no, they changed the name. I am confused.
Safety belt.
Safety belt.
What is this magic?
Seat belt.
What is this new innovation? How come it's never been brought out when I was on the airplane? I've never heard tale of this.
How would you use it?
I'll tell you what. I spend my entire flight in a lotus position, upside down on my seat, drinking, and I've never been told otherwise. Never had anybody. There's no goddamn light that comes. What about that noise that the pilot kicks the thing off? The pilot said you can take your seatbelt off, but go back to your seat.
Does he have to explain to them what to do? He must. Safety belt.
Keep going, Anderson. This is where your taxpayer dollars are going, everybody.
So next time you fly, stay buckled up the whole time. Because after all, turbulence happens, and you're just not built for it.
No.
This message is a public service of this state.
Now, everyone knows that being jostled in a padded seat is far worse than being blindsided by 270-pound linebackers blitzing or running into a lamppost when you're rollerblading. Yeah. Of course. That is the worst goddamn PSA I've ever heard in my life. And the only thing worse than that is the 50,000 people that die every year from secondhand smoke. I would like to get those two people who constructed those PSAs to get together and have a class action lawsuit against them on behalf of radio stations and their consumers.
We could be spending more time on airport laptop computer theft, after all.
That is the other PSA that drives me through the effing roof. please. I don't know who these groups are. Is there some lobby group for turbulence? I what is going on? Is that the biggest fish we have to fry in this country? Airplane turbulence. We got junkies. We got school shootings. We got unemployment. We got domestic abuse. That's all we can talk about. And laptop theft at the airport with McGruff. Oh, wait till I'm in charge. Wait till I'm in charge. Okay, I'm going to pee.
All right, me too.
We'll be back.
Hello. This is your radio. Radio. Loveline will be right back.
Loveline. Hey, yeah. For those of you that are interested in Dr. Bruce and the tattoo removal and the skin rejuvenation, the wrinkle removal system right. He's got, it's 888-340-7... Good time. 888-340-7790. He's L.A.-based. For those of you around the country, this is Los Angeles number. Yeah. It's 888-340-7...
let me get another fart.
888-340-7790. That stinks, too.
Oh, yeah, come that's on. That's psychosomatic.
Oh, no.
You heard... you heard the sound, and you're reacting. Yes. That was a placebo fart. You're a doctor. All right, so until next time. Cult tomorrow night, everyone. This is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo. Born gay, the life is to live gay.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.